Legends of Music with the one and only Sharon Corr.
Only on Dubai i 103.8.
Hi there, this is Mark Lloyd from Lunch with Lloyd, and this podcast is a very special one to me. I have been a fan of the Irish band The Corrs forever, and let me tell you, to get to interview their violinist and vocalist Sharon Corr was an absolute dream come true. Hope you enjoy this interview just as much as I did.
Legends of Music with the one and only Sharon Corr.
Only on Dubai i 103.8.
Welcome along to Legends of Music here with myself, Mark Lloyd, right here on Dubai i 103.8. We've spoken to the likes of Barry Manilow over the last few months, Quincy Jones, of course Pete Waterman last month, and this month we have a super talented lady joining us on the show. In fact, the whole family is super talented. They are The Corrs, and it's a pleasure to welcome to the show Sharon Corr. Sharon, how are you?
I'm really good here in Madrid, Spain. I'm doing really well. It's nice to talk to you.
Oh, Madrid, Spain. Isn't that a wonderful city? Is that kind of where you permanently reside these days?
It is, yes. I live here permanently. Yeah.
Lovely. So we're going to take a look at your incredible career, of course. So you came to prominence with your brother and your sisters, Andrea, Caroline and Jim, one of the most successful bands ever to come out of Ireland. I first want to talk about growing up as a little girl and the music that was playing around your home. I know you're from Dundalk in Ireland. So
yeah.
Just tell me about your early memories of music.
Well, I think, you know, well, at a very young age, it was just always music in our house. Both my parents were musicians and had regular day jobs, but my mum was a beautiful singer. You know, the Carpenters would have played a big role in our growing up. I mean, and, you know, those harmonies and the beautiful writing of Burt Bacharach, and also the Eagles would have been huge. One of my first memories would be Mrs. Robinson, you know, Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
So, and I remember just running downstairs, and because my parents were listening to it, and just, you know, pressing reverse on the tape so I could hear it again. Peter Gabriel, Joni Mitchell is my all-time favorite artist, who's before my time, but I don't know, the truth of her work was really almost explosive. It was so beautiful, you know.
Yeah, Big Yellow Taxi is one of my favorites as well. I just want to pick up on the Carpenters that you mentioned there, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's funny, isn't it? Families, and this is the same with you, the harmonies, if it's brother, sister, you know, you think of the Everly Brothers, you think of the Carpenters, they seem to get the harmonies so much tighter and so much better. I don't know, do you think that's a trait of singing with your own family?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a genetic thing. I think also the fact that your conditioning is coming from the same place, you've been listening to the same things, so therefore, you know, what you're learning through music is the same. We had almost reverse issues with harmonies in studios, because myself and Caroline, when we would do harmonies, we would, I'm sure you'll understand this from radio, but we would phase.
Yeah.
We would be so in sync that it was like the one person singing. so we had to deliver, because then you don't get the width on the track that you're trying to create.
Yeah.
We found that the more backing vocals we put on, the smaller it became. So we had to purposely try to sort of sing slightly out of sync with each other, you know, to create that bigger sound.
That's an amazing story. So it was almost too perfect. The harmonies were too perfect that you had to kind of, you know, back off and maybe sing them out of tune a little bit. What was the factor of the violin? What drew you to the violin, Sharon? Was it always that instrument? I know you play piano as well.
Well, I mean, I wasn't myself drawn to the violin. I was introduced to it at 6 years old. We had a local priest who taught violin, you know, and was running an orchestra. And he'd been interested in Caroline because she was four, and he was trying the Japanese Suzuki method of starting children really, really, really young. But Caroline was, you know, just not interested at all, and was telling him about how big his ears were and different things like that. And so then he sort of spotted me, and he went, oh, yeah, she's a good age. So I started violin with him. I was playing piano from four, self-taught. So, and I write all my songs on piano.
When did you realise, Sharon, that, you know, music was going to become more than a hobby, more than, you know, something you did around the house or down the local church, that it was going to become a career?
I suppose I realised, 1990, when we auditioned for the Commitments film. Yeah. And, you know, we had, you know, tiny little parts in it. Andrea had something more substantial. But we met our manager then, and it sort of just seemed fated. I mean, music had been our whole lives, and we were good at it. So,
yeah.
You know, and my brother had worked with different bands. He had already developed a little home recording studio. So it just, it made an awful lot of sense to do it. And it's a super risky enterprise because, you know, it's like 99.999% failure rate in this, in the music industry, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
Lots of great bands just never get heard of. But we had the support from our parents to go for this, and that's, you know, priceless. You know, you can't,
yeah.
you can't really measure that because a lot of parents would be erring on the side of responsibility and you know, don't take a risk like that. That's a huge risk. No, you need to go to university or you need to, you know, get a job, basically. So we just started writing and recording from then. And, well, we ended up in New York, you know, looking for record deals, just basically playing our music to anybody we could in record company lobbies, wherever, you know. And eventually we met David Foster.
Yeah.
We had no planned meeting with him, but we showed up and pretended we did. and a bit of, you know, Irish in us there trying that one. But and we just said, basically, can we play for you? So he was recording Michael Jackson's History album at the time.
Okay.
And in Hit Factory in New York, and that's where we turned up to. And he was curious. And so he took us upstairs and we sang and played around the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day we were signed
wow.
to Atlantic Records. Now, that was after, you know, probably about 4 or 5 years of being turned down by very yeah. various record companies. and you know, people who we used to say they had their ears painted on because they couldn't hear very well.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
But if you're going to be, you know, signed by anyone, David Foster is definitely the guy. He was the hottest producer in town at that time. And, of course, he produced your album, Forgiven, Not Forgotten. Here's a song from that debut album, From the Course.
Say it's true. There's nothing like me. Not alone, tell me you feel it too, and I would run away, I would run away, yeah, yeah, I would run away, I would run away with you, 'cause I
Legends of Music with the one and only Sharon Corr.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
I haven't slept at all in days. It's been so long since we've talked. And I have been here many times. I just don't know what I'm doing. To make you love me, what can I do to make you care? What can I say to make you feel this? What can I do to get you there? There's only so much I can take. Just gotta let it go. And who knows, I might feel better. Yeah. If I don't try and I don't hope. What can I do to make you love me? What can I do to make? Say to make you feel this. What can I do to get you there? No more waiting, no more aching. No more fighting, no more trying. Nothing more to say. And in a funny way I come, because the power is not mine. I'm just gonna let it fly. What can I do to make you love me? What can I do to make you care? What can I say to make you feel this? What can I do to get you there? What can I do to make you love me? What can I do to make you care? Change to make you feel this. What can I do to get you there? I know I'm made. Love me, love me, love me, love me,
Legends of Music with the one and only Sharon Corr.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
We are talking to Sharon Corr here on Legends of Music. Some fantastic stories about the family band turned up in the US and, you know, managed to get themselves an audience with David Foster. The rest is history. So the first album, Forgiven Not Forgotten, absolutely brilliant. Did won so many awards. And that's the tricky part, though, isn't it, Sharon? Is following up a successful debut album. So how did you go about doing that?
That was tricky because, you know, it's like this, there's a thing about the second album, you know?
Yeah.
The first album, we had had, you know, 5 or 6 years to write it, you know, or five years to write it. So to define our sound, which became, you know, more and more sort of, you know, with the Celtic introduction, maybe became more identifiable outside of other bands. And so when I did come to the second album, it's like you get this giant pressure from the record company.
Right.
And you have to just ignore it, you know. So on the second album, we were writing ourselves as usual, but we also decided to collaborate with different people. So Carol Baer-Sager, who would have been Burt Bacharach's ex-wife, we collaborated with, where did I see, Oliver Lieber and John Shanks. They were Rick Knowles. So we did some collaborations, and that was very healthy for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to write with other people because you develop your own palette. You know, you've got such a bigger buffet of your influences and their influences to choose from. You know, so it becomes a much broader picture, and it's also quite a brave thing to do. We were used to being in our cocoon of writing together. You know, initially, you know, with Talking Corners, the record company weren't sort of blown away by it, you know. We kind of proved them wrong because it went on to sell over 10 million albums worldwide, and it was just, you know, absolutely, we were number one in the charts with it, and then Forgive Not Forgotten, we entered the charts, so then we were number one and number two.
Yeah, one of the very few bands ever to be able to do that. I mean, looking at the songs on Talk on Corners, So Young, What Can I Do? Interesting that you went to do a cover of a Fleetwood Mac classic in Dreams. What led you to do that, Sharon?
That was just another opportunity that came up. And it was almost, I think we'd finished recording the album when that came up, and this guy, anyway, big shot in the record company, said there's going to be this tribute album to Fleetwood Mac. Various amazing people are on it.
Mm-hmm.
Dreams is free. Would you like to cover it? And I mean, we've been huge Fleetwood Mac fans. So we covered it. And that's when we, you know, sort of, but that's when we collaborated on that with Oliver Lieber and John Shanks. And that was a defining moment for us. And the thing is that you never know what's going to turn your career around the next corner. And it was it. It was a defining moment because we then added it to the album subsequently. We released it. I think it was the first single. And it took off.
An incredible version of the song. And here it is right now. Dreams from the Corrs.
Yeah, women, they will come and
We are in conversation on Legends of Music with Sharon Corr. We just heard Dreams there, of course, from Fleetwood Mac. A lovely version. And Sharon, you always try to put that Celtic vibe on your music. Is that something that's very important to you? You know, you didn't just go completely mainstream, completely pop. You kept that Irish vibe on all your albums and some, you know, with instrumentals as well.
Yeah, I think it's about being true to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, they say to any, you know, aspiring writer to write what you know. So we wrote what we know. Pop, you know, rock and traditional. So it was just a blend that was really us. It was all of our influences together. I remember coming up with that line in Dreams. And I remember, you know, Oliver Lieber and John Shanks going, wow. You know, like, because they hadn't really been exposed to how you could put that into a song like that before, you know. So it was pretty exciting. So it was great to hear it on the radio.
It sounds cuts through, and it just cut through on our radio station, even better than the original. The following album.
No.
The following album, In Blue, of course, that was released in 2000. But, I mean, at that time, you know, were some of the guys perhaps, you know, thinking about families, having families, and was, you know, the pressure of touring getting a bit too much for you guys?
The recording around that was a little tricky. We were unsure of, you know, what producer to use and things like that. And we tried a couple of different options out and we weren't, no, I don't believe, you know, if my memory serves me correctly, that we were at the point of, you know, it's time to stop.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't, because we had yet to release Breathless.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so clearly
biggest song ever.
No, it wasn't time. It wasn't time to stop. So we collaborated with Mutt Lange, super famous for, you know, Def Leppard, The Cars,
Shania Twain.
Shania Twain, of course. So we collaborated with him, I think, on about 3 songs. And then we were working with Mitchell Froome, whom I adore and subsequently did my solo album, The Same Sun, with him on my own. So absolutely been a huge fan of his work all my life. So, it was just about doing another album and writing the best music that we could. And again, it did really well. It's just about putting heart and soul into it. Really,
yeah.
You know.
Legends of Music with the one and only Sharon Corr.
Only on Dubai i 103.8.
Welcome back to Legends of Music right here on Dubai i 103.8, and we are in conversation with the one and only Sharon Corr. I mean, going solo, you released your first solo album 2010, Dream of You. I mean, how was it kind of leaving the family behind and working on your own, I'm sure, with a, you know, a new group of musicians and a completely new vibe? How was that for you?
Well, it was a very natural movement for me. I'd had my 2 children. I was writing all of the time, and I thought, well, there's a reason I'm writing.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I said, you know, it's about, I like to do the things that I'm afraid of, you know, because I think it controls you as a person. Not exactly bungee jumping, because I'm never going to try that one out. But, you know, getting on stage is almost like doing a bungee jump or just walk.
Yeah.
It's like, it can be terrifying. But I knew it was in me, so I went for it and wrote a hell of a lot of songs and started working with my friend and producer, Billy Farrell. Tim Martin was the engineer, who's now sadly passed. But we loved making the record together. I had Fiacna Trench do the orchestrations, the string arrangements on it. And, you know, it was a big undertaking for me. And I think for me, it wasn't so much making the album on my own. That was a little bit, you know, daunting. It was, I wasn't used to being on stage on my own.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
Even though without my family, obviously I wasn't on my own. But it was like, you know, if this goes down, I go down. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So I did have some stage nerves because I was obviously, my environment had been to be amongst the four for so long. But, that's something you need to break out of, and you need to develop your own personality and your own likes and dislikes. And I became much more aware of the music that I was particularly drawn to myself rather than as one of the cores. And when I was writing that album, I could hear because I had a tendency to write for the cores, if you know what I mean. We all wrote, mm-hmm. but, you know, like tracks like So Young, I wrote for the cores.
Yeah.
Or Radio, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to sort of observe my writing as and try and make it more distinctively me. What do I want to hear from me? What do I love listening to? And that definitely developed more when I got to making The Same Sun. I was much more in the heart of who I am. And now with this new album that I'm going to release this year, I'm just totally me. So I'm now
Fantastic.
Right at the heart of who I am as a person and not afraid to express the truth in all of its forms, ugly, beautiful, fantastic, unreal, supernatural, sci-fi, like what's going on at the moment with this COVID pandemic around the world. I mean, you know, and I recently wrote a song, you know, while in quarantine, based on the experience. But, you know, I got the chance on this new album to work with, well, just one of the greatest producers of all time, Larry Klein, best known for Joni Mitchell Records. And many, many other people, obviously. He's worked with the best jazz artists, Herbie Hancock, everybody.
Yep.
And he was and is an absolute joy to work with. I really had formulated what the album was and the songs. I kind of knew, you know, I would literally get out of bed in the morning and go to the piano and I'd write a song and go, wow, where did that come from? You know?
Yeah, brilliant.
And absolutely. So it was nice that he took a chance on me. You know, I sent him some songs. I didn't know him at all. I didn't know him. I was at a party one night here in Madrid. Somebody put on a record. It was by the singer Melody Gardot. And I was like, wow, that record sounds absolutely amazing. So then I looked up who produced it. And of course, it was Larry Klein. So I asked I went, okay, that's a signal from heaven. I worked on pure instinct on this album. Everything that I chased, I did it by instinct. So I called my manager and I said, can you get me a contact for Larry Klein? I want him to do this record. Larry got back the next day, and that shows you the type of guy he is. He's super busy, but he was curious, you know, and I said, look, you know, we got on like a house on fire from the beginning. He's a very truthful, honest, easy person to be with. Just loves his music. He's not doing anything else. You know, his music and his family, which is exactly what I do. I just said, look, you know what? Let me just send you some demos. So I sent him like 3 demos and he was like, I'm in. You know,
I bet he was as soon as he heard them. We've got more music right now from the one and only Sharon Corr right here on Legends of Music.
Nothing's gonna change the way I feel when you call my name. The stars, they shine for me. Wanting all you'll ever need, needing all you'll ever want, my love I give to you. I And at times I know it's hard to stay together. But when I'm in your arms, there's nowhere I feel better.
Legends of Music with the one and only Sharon Corr.
Only on Dubai i 103.8.
Welcome back to Legends of Music. Sharon Corr, absolutely fabulous conversation about her music with her family and her solo work as well. I just want to touch on the fact that all of you, including yourself, have got the MBE for charity. Yes. Work. Just give me a little bit more information about that.
Well, that was rather a surprise, you know. I've just been watching The Crown as well, so it's
okay.
it's kind of weird, you know, that I've been in Buckingham Palace and,
yeah.
and you know, played for the Queen and different things like that at her Jubilee. That really did come out of the blue, but it was in recognition of our charity, of our contribution to charity and also to the music industry as musicians, as writers. Yeah, we were awarded that, and it was a beautiful thing to receive that type of recognition as a band. I mean, I thought it was just really, 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 really special by another country. You know, that's kind of sweet. You know,
I want to wrap up with a couple of questions. I want to find out what you've been listening to of late. The kind of stuff that is going on your turntable, or are you playing through your phone? Who are you listening to at the moment, Sharon?
Well, you know, I'm listening to, I love Mark Isham. the composer soundtrack writer.
Okay.
Because I'm also, you know, I'm also involved in writing soundtracks. I'm listening to a lot of Bowie.
Yeah.
I'm listening to John Hopkins. I just love, you know, just really, really, really great music. Particular albums like Coldplay Ghosts.
Yeah.
Which is probably not their most prominent, but actually my favorite. I'm listening to Sufjan Stevens, Tim O'Brien and Daryl Scott. So there's like a great mix of Paolo Conte, the Italian artist, Marisa Monte, the Brazilian artist, and I'm also collaborating with different artists around the world. So I've just done a collaboration with a Brazilian artist. So we're remotely recording, and at the moment I'm setting up a home studio recording facility in my house. Which is not easy to do because I'm not super at technology, but this I need to learn. I'm doing that.
Are you looking forward to the day when you can get back on stages? And can we expect more from the Corrs as a family?
I'm certainly looking forward to the day, and the sooner the better, because I really feel the loss of it. You know, it's in my blood.
Yeah.
I love to travel. Playing together with other musicians is just magic. It's like you get to be in the moment. You're not in your worries. You're not in the future, the past. You're just present.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's a real, just harmonious feeling. I do expect that the Corrs will work again in the future. I'm not sure when. But, you know, we're never gone. You know, we're always here. It's just a matter of when. I will focus on this new album, 2021. It should be out in September, but I'll probably start releasing singles, you know, from about April, May forward. So we'll.
Does it have a name?
It has a name, but I'm not.
You're not going to tell me, are you? Well, I'll tell you what, you're not going to tell me that. But just to wrap up, you know, when I was doing my research, I came across your version of a beautiful song by the Corgis. Everybody's got to learn sometime. Just what was the inspiration to record your version of that, Sharon?
Oh, I'll tell you why. Because I had performed with Zucchero, who did a stunning version of that song.
Yeah.
You know the Italian artist?
Yeah, yeah. He collaborated with Paul Young as well.
Absolutely, he did, yeah. So, Senza Nadona, I think it was called.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
So, I played with him on the 4664 concert for the Nelson Mandela AIDS Foundation. So, I joined him on stage to play that. I joined him on stage in concert in Dublin, and I'm pretty sure there's another time, but it's eluding me now when it was. And then I just kind of started singing it myself. And I thought, yeah,
I really
like this song. So I then, you know, in my solo setup, I started singing it on stage. And then the record company heard me doing it and they said, well, you really just need to record that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I did. And we did a kind of sort of quite tech-orientated version of it, which probably wouldn't have been my purest take on it, but it was, you know, de moda, you know, it was like, you know, in fashion at the time to do things that sounded like a remix or whatever. But it is good, and I loved doing the video in Mirha in
You're on a beach, on a lovely beach somewhere, I think.
Yeah, I was in Mirha, I was in the Balcon de Europa, and I was also in the Alhambra Palace in Granada.
Nice. Sharon, it's been absolutely brilliant chatting with you, and we adore your music here in Dubai. And, you know, one of these days when all this is over, you never know, we just might see the Corrs, or at least Sharon Corr, performing in the city of Dubai. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Look forward to those days.
Legends of Music with the one and only Sharon Corr.
Only on Dubai i 103.8.
Well, there you have it, Sharon Corr on Legends of Music. Incredible band and fantastic stories as well from Sharon right here on Dubai i 103.8.